Hi everyone, welcome to our midweek study. Salamat sa pagsaming sa akin. We continue our study now on the nation Israel in the wilderness. But before we begin, shall we come to the Lord in prayer? Loving God, we praise you for how we can ask you for help. We pray that you'd teach us and preach to our hearts and allow us to glean from this Old Testament narrative timeless truths and principles that we could learn, that we could use to live by, so that we would live lives pleasing to you, acceptable to you, that we would live lives not grumbling, but grateful, Lord, for the many blessings, for the grace that you have bestowed upon us. Allow the meditations of our hearts and minds and the words that will come out of my mouth be glorifying to you and to you alone. This is our heart's cry in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen and amen. Again, mga kapatid, as we study the book of Exodus and we look at the wilderness experience, sabi natin, it seems like they are going through university. Sabi nga ni Charles Spurgeon, di po ba? The wilderness experience is the Cambridge and the Oxford for God's students. And I agree with that because what we find in this section of scripture is that God taking His chosen nation through the wilderness to prune them, to do some pruning, to be training them, to discipline them. Para saan? I like what Ryken says about this experience. Sabi ni Ryken, commenting on the wilderness experience of the nation Israel, going through the wilderness was not necessary for Israel's salvation, but necessary for their sanctification. And I agree with that. Si Clement of Rome, an early church father, says this about the sanctifying purpose of the wilderness for the nation Israel. Sabi niya, after this, meaning the Red Sea crossing, Moses, by the command of God, whose providence is over all, led out the people of the Hebrews into the wilderness, that he might root out the evils which had clung to them by a long-continued familiarity with the customs of the Egyptians. Like what we said before in our last study, it took one night to take Israel out of Egypt, but it will take 40 years to take Egypt out of Israel. So indeed, God is rooting out some evils that clung to them. Yung mga sistema sa isipan, sa kultura, and the affections ng Israel, God is taking out some of them sa kanilang sa kanyang bayang hinirang. And to continue on with the study, let's pick up from where we left in chapter 15, verse 22. As we see the bitter water testing. Sabi sa verse 22, then Moses made Israel set out from the Red Sea, so they went into the wilderness of Shur. They went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. When they came to Marah, they could not drink the water of Marah because it was bitter. Therefore, it was named Marah. Pay attention to verse 24. And the people grumbled against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? And he cried to the Lord. Moses cried to the Lord. And the Lord showed him a log, and he threw it into the water, and the water became sweet. Imagine, no, tatlong araw pa lamang na nakita nila na nahati ang Red Sea, right? And again, I like the imagery here. I like what the writer is doing here. I like what God is doing here. Imagine, friends, God moving in a bigger body of water, the Red Sea. Diba? Nag-part yung Red Sea and they were able to cross the Red Sea, all 3 million of them. I guess sabi natin, estimation lang yun, but more or less 3 million. And they were walking on dry ground. And now they're grumbling against Moses and they're complaining about a smaller body of water, right? Because the water is bitter. It was not good for drinking. And sabi natin, the problem is not the bitter water. The problem is the bitterness in the people's hearts. Again, God just dealt with a bigger body of water. Tapos napakaliit na body of water, they're complaining already. The problem indeed was the bitter people. At nakita natin kung paano ginawa ng Diyos na matamis. God made this bitter water into sweet water. telling us that God indeed was committed, telling us that it is indeed God who is very committed, very much committed to protecting and providing for His chosen people. Tapos nakita natin yung binigyan sila ng statutes and rule, right? There the Lord made for them a statutes and a rule, and there He tested them. And again, ito ang maging ongoing theme of this narrative, God testing the nation Israel. And again, friends, itong panawagan, this call, this demand for obedience to God's statute will in fact be heard all throughout the Pentateuch. All the way to their entrance to the Promised Land, makikita natin pa rin yun, that there would be a demand for them to obey, and then they would be blessed. Otherwise, if they disobey, they will be cursed. And friends, nakita natin dito, like what we said last time, Diyos ang nagsiset ng terms of the relationship, not us. It is God who sets the terms for their relationships. And we need to always remind ourselves about that. We need to understand that. Diba? Na nakita natin that God Himself is the one who demands. Hindi tayo, not the other way around. At nais kong sabihin sa atin that these instructions, that these statutes, that these rules, hindi naman para sa kanilang kasamaan. It's for their own good. It's for their own protection. And it's also for God's glory. Pero pansinin natin, di ba, paano sumagot ang Diyos sa kanilang mga complaints? Di ba, sa mga complaints nila? God in His mercy, God in His chesed, in His faithful love, made the bitter water into sweet water. Tapos ang ganda nung pagka-end natin sa chapter 15, where we see the Israelites in Elim, where there were 12 springs of water. Naintindihan niyo yun? 12 springs of water, healthy water, and 70 palm trees. Sabi ng ilang komentarista, some commentator says that this is not just an ordinary palm tree. They say it could be date palms. Nakakain na po ba kayo ng dates? It's a sweet fruit. But more than this being palm trees and date palms, palm trees are a sign of adequate hydration, telling us itong lugar na ito is an oasis. It's a perfect place for civilization to start, to propagate. Nakita natin, they encamp there. Right? So, ang tendency ng karamihan, if you are in an oasis, if you are in a place where there is healthy water, is to stay there. But that is not the place where God wants them to be. That is not the Promised Land. That's why we look at chapter 16, we see them leaving the palm springs, if you will, right? And this is our next heading as we see the next test. Look at chapter 16, verse 1. They set out from Elim, and all the congregation of the people of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they had departed from the land of Egypt. From the oasis of Elim, we find the Israelites now in the wilderness of Sin. Grabe yung pangalan, no? Parang saktong-sakto, no? Again, that in itself is a miracle. Diba? Sabi natin, there is a tendency for people to stay at a place where there's good drinking water and life. Pero hindi naman yun kasi ang Promised Land. So, we find them now at the wilderness of Sin. At sabi nung talata, the wilderness of Sin is between Elim and Sinai. At sabi ng ganun, kailan sila umalis? Kailan sila napunta ron? The 15th day of the second month. Telling us, it's been a month already na sila ay nag-travel. Bakit ko nasabi yun? Go to Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12, we start with verse 1 and 2. Sabing ganun, itong panahon na to, itong buwan na to is the beginning of time for you, of the year for you. this shall be the beginning of months. Exodus 12, 1 to 2. Right? Tapos sa verse 6, sabing ganon, as God gave instructions with regards to the sacrificial lamb, sabing ganon, you shall keep it, yung lamb, until the 14th day of this month. Again, these instructions are para sa hinaharap na pag-celebrate na ng Passover. Pero sabi sa atin, the rest of chapter 12, they left the following day, kung saan nag-Passover na ang angel of death. Telling us, it's been a month already as we look at chapter 16. 15th day of the second month. They left on the 15th day of the first month. Right? So, tinatigil in chapter 16, verse 2. And the whole congregation of the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron. And the people of Israel said to them, would that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the meat pots and ate bread to the full. For you have brought us out into the wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Napansin niyo po ba kung paanong napakagaling at napaka-careful ng scripture in telling us that everyone in the whole congregation grumbled against Moses and Aaron. Over and over, we read about Israel's grumbling. Sa chapter 16 pa lang, sa verse 2, sa verse 7, sa verse 8, sa verse 11. We would read and see them grumbling, murmuring, nagrareklamo sa Panginoong Diyos. Let's pause for a while. You need to understand, friends, yung complaining, yung grumbling, yung murmuring is a very serious sin. More serious than we think. Ano sabi ni Pablo sa believers sa Philippi? Philippians 2:14, do everything without grumbling. And that is what we see in this chosen nation, in this chosen people. Ano bang nakita natin so far? In Exodus chapter 2, nakita natin they were complaining, they were grumbling under Pharaoh, di ba? In chapter 14, they were grumbling at the Red Sea. In chapter 15, they were grumbling because of the bitter water. And now we see them grumbling against their leaders. Nakakalungkot isipin, ang bilis nila makalimot. God did a miracle. Huwag na lang yung bitter water. Nakakamangha yung Red Sea, nakalimutan agad nila. Let's say 1 month ago. Didn't God follow that up? Follow that up with the bitter water turning into sweet water? Diba? Telling us that God is indeed committed to protecting and providing for His chosen people? Pakinggan natin, kahit masakit pakinggan, yung complaint nila. Right? Sabing ganun, with that, we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the meat pots and ate bread to the full. For you have brought us out into the wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Ano napansin ninyo? They were looking back again in Egypt. Kagaya nung first complaint nila kay Moses, ito po ay gawa-gawa lamang. This is made up. This is a lie. It's all made up. At yung language there, depicts plenty. Sabi nga yung phrase na sitting by meat pots and eating bread to the full is actually an idiomatic expression. Telling us of plenty, of fullness. They're saying, listen, sa Egypt marami noon. Masaya ang buhay namin. Suddenly, Egypt became like a paradise when to begin with, they were complaining, they were crying out to God because of their bondage to Egypt. Because of their forced labor and hard work. Hindi po ba? And look at this grumbling again. Look at this complaint again. Verse 2 reads, they were grumbling against Moses and Aaron. Pero sa verse 3, pinakita sa atin, ni-reveal sa atin ang puso ng mga taong ito. They were actually grumbling against the Lord. And that is a horrifying thing. Nakakilabot. Ika nga. And did you see? Look at that verse again. They mentioned the covenant name of God, Yahweh. Diba? The nerve of these people to even mention God's covenant name, Yahweh, sa kanilang complaints. And friends, we should be paying attention to what we are reading right now. What we are studying right now. Because most of the times, we have the same tendencies. We have the same tendencies. Whenever we are tempted to murmur, to grumble, magreklamo sa sitwasyon natin, you need to understand that there are always two things at least that we forget. The two things that these people have forgotten. First, we forget when we murmur what we deserve at the hands of God. Ano bang deserving natin? Nothing but punishment, hindi po ba? All have sinned. And He is a righteous, holy God. And then, we murmur, we grumble. That's the first thing that we forget, what we deserve. And then we also forget all the mercy and grace and love which God has shown us, which God has poured out on us, which God has poured out on this nation. Two things at least that we tend to forget when we grumble, when we murmur, when we complain about our circumstances. What we deserve and what we're not deserving of. We forget the punishment and judgment that we deserve, and we forget about the grace that we do not deserve. Remember nung ating diniscuss yung 10th plague, di ba? Yung death of the firstborn? Sabi natin, before, ang akala natin, it was just the household of Egypt that's been that was being judged. But I said, no, both households are being judged. Ang Egyptians and the Israelites were being judged. Bakit? Ano pinagkaiba? The only difference is that Israel's household has the blood of a lamb on their doorposts that made the angel of death to pass over because someone atoned for their sin. Tanong ko lang mga kapatid, if you were there, if you were Moses, tapos narinig niyo yung reklamo ng mga tao ito, sabi niya, masarap pa dun sa Egypt eh, marami kami ron. In fact, sabi niya, we had pots of meat, kalderong karne, at punong-puno kami, nabusog-nabusog kami ng tinapay. Ano sabihin niyo? If I would be honest, I would say napaka-ingrato nito mga tao ito. What ungrateful people. But again, friends, this is not just about Israel. This is us. Because even in our regenerate state, di ba? Even though we're born again already, even though we have been saved by grace through faith in Christ, we often find ourselves having that sense of entitlement. Nag-church naman ako, Lord. Nag-serve naman. Nagbibigay naman ako, Lord. Dapat gawin mo to, dapat gawin mo to. Parang may patago tayo sa Diyos. It's as if God owes us anything. No. God does not owe us anything. We owe everything to God. Pero again, as we continue with the narrative, God reacted with mercy here to the Israelites. He still provided for them in spite of their ingratitude. Notice verse 4. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I'm about to rain bread from heaven for you." What language there? Diba? I'm about to rain bread. Pauudanin ko ng tinapay galing sa langit. And the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day that I may test them whether they will walk in my law or not. Again, ang purpose ng pagpapaulan, pag-provide ng Panginoong Diyos ng tinapay from heaven is to test them. Is to test them. In chapter 15, we saw that they were given statutes and rules to test them. And God has just told them that if they obey, diba, none of the diseases na punta sa Egypt, none of the judgment that befell Egypt would fall on them, if only they would obey, if only they would be faithful to this very faithful God who has been their provider, who has been their protector. Ang bilis nila makalimot, ano? So they need to be reminded. Thus, we have another test. Here is what we are missing from this familiar narrative. Diba? Akala lang natin noon, ang manna from heaven was provision. And it is provision. But here, God is saying it was also a means by which the nation Israel will be tested. It's for testing. Bakit ito test? Because God is not going to give them their monthly, their weekly, not even their yearly provision, but it would be a daily provision. Right? Let's go on with the narrative. Look at verse 5. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather daily. Ano napansin natin dito? And I want you to pay attention. Very interestingly, that prior to the giving of the law, kasi ang giving of the law will be in chapter 20, right? In chapter 20, we will see the Decalogue being given, and the law being given, right? So the question now is this, where did they get the idea of Sabbath, right? Since the Ten Commandments will be given in chapter 20 pa. And this is very important with regards to biblical theology, right? Nakita dito, on the sixth day, they were being given instructions about the sixth day para kumuha kayong double portion para sa seventh day, the Sabbath, wala na kayong gagawin. Where did that come from? Again, the Sabbath came from Genesis by order of creation. Diba? God in 6 days created, and on the seventh day He rested, and embedded in it is the testimony of the Sabbath. Right? Look at verse 4 again. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I am about to rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may test them whether they will walk in my law or not. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather daily." So they are to gather their daily needs every day except on the sixth day in preparation for the seventh day para hindi sila magatrabaho on the Sabbath. On the sixth day, they are allowed to get twice as much. At pansin natin, paano magpo-provide ang Diyos? How would God provide for their needs? Look at verse 6. So Moses and Aaron said to all the people of Israel, "At evening, you shall know that it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt." Para saan daw? Sa gabi, malalaman ninyo ang kapangyarihang nagpalaya sa inyo sa Egypt. "And in the morning, you shall see the glory of the Lord." And I like this. "Because He has heard your grumbling against the Lord. For what we are, that you grumble against us," sabi ni Moses. And Moses said, "When the Lord gives you in the evening meat to eat, and in the morning bread to the full, because the Lord has heard your grumbling, that you grumble against Him. What are we? Your grumbling is not against us, but against the Lord." Verse 7 is very important. Verse 7 is very important. It is important in the ministry. It is important in leadership. It is important with regards to Christian parents as we do parenting. Listen, when we grumble against those who are accountable to us, and when they do things according to God's mandate, according to God's provision, when those for whom we are responsible grumble against us, when we do what is right and is commanded by God, sabi ni Moses, you are not grumbling against them, you are not grumbling against people who are accountable to you, or they are not grumbling against you, but they are grumbling against God. Put that in mind. Mga kabataan, when you start grumbling against your parents, especially that your parents are godly and they're teaching you Christian manners, Christian virtues, they're grumbling against God. When we grumble against our leaders, especially in the church, especially when they are doing what is according to Scripture, we are grumbling against God. Sabi ni Moses, "For what are we that you grumble against us?" He's in fact saying, "Hindi naman kami nakarinig ng panawagan. We did not hear your cries. We were not the ones who rescued you. We were not the ones who sent the plagues. It was not me who parted the Red Sea. It was not me who made the bitter water sweet." Right? It was God. And you're complaining against God. That's what Moses is saying. Verse 9. Then Moses said to Aaron, "Say to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he has heard your grumbling." And as soon as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. Right? And the Lord said to Moses, "I have heard the grumbling of the people of Israel. Say to them, at twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God." Nalala niyo yung phrase na yan? Sabi ng Panginoon Diyos, "I will provide for you. I will provide meat for you. I will provide bread for you. I will provide meat in the evening. I will provide bread in the morning." Right? Because you grumbled against me. Nagreklamo kayo sa akin. Parang kulang pa yung pagpapatunay ko. I'm protecting you and I'm providing for you. And then this phrase, "Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God." Do you remember? In the book of Exodus so far, that very same phrase, that very same formula was used time and time again. Diba? In the previous chapters. But they were used against Pharaoh. Tama? Naalala niyo yun? Pharaoh was told, "If you do not let my people go, if you not, horrible things will happen to you, will befall on Egypt. What for? That you may know that I am Yahweh and I am the Lord." What's shocking here is that the Lord is using the same phrase, not with Pharaoh, but with the very people he just saved. Now it's being used with Israel. Right? And again, friends, let us not miss out. Let's not miss those details. Nakakapangilabot. Nakakapangilabot ang ingratitude ng mga taong ito. Look at verse 13. "In the evening, quail came up and covered the camp. And in the morning, dew lay around the camp." Now, this is very important. Remember the idiomatic expression, yung kanila sinabi sa reklamo nila kay Moses, sabi nila, di ba? "With that, we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the meat pots and ate bread to the full. For you have brought us out into the wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Ano napansin natin? Ang sabi nila, marami kaming meat, marami kaming tinapay, busog na busog kami sa Egypt. Now, God is providing both meat and bread for this ungrateful people. Now, yung quail, yung pugo sa Tagalog, are migratory birds. They flock in a very massive group, yung kanilang flock. And during migration, they fly until they are tired, they're exhausted. And when they rest at a certain point, they would be so exhausted that they can be easily picked up. That is what we see here. God providentially led these birds to provide meat for the Israelites. Verse 13, "In the evening, quail came up and covered the camp." Again, imagine nyo kung gaano karaming quail ito. We're talking about 3 million people. "And in the morning, dew lay around the camp. And when the dew had gone up, there was on the face of the wilderness a fine flake-like thing, fine as frost on the ground. When the people of Israel saw it, they said to one another, What is it? Yung what is it, that phrase in the Hebrew is mana, which means what is it? So they literally named the flakes mana. What is it? What is it? For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, it is bread that the Lord has given you to eat. Pansinin natin, mga kapatid, what we have seen so far. The provision of manna, the provision of quail, includes a number of important lessons. Right? From chapter 16, 11 to 15, we see that it was supernatural. Supernatural yon. God miraculously provided bread from heaven. Now, most people work for bread, diba? Work for food. That is the way God designed it. Paul told us that a man who is not willing to work should not eat. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10. Napansin natin, some refuse to work because in a fallen world because it's toilsome, diba? Nakakapagod. In Genesis 3, God said that to Adam that one of the result of the fall is that work will be difficult. Previously, before the fall, work was enjoyable. Sabi ng Panginoon, you will eat bread by the sweat of your brow. So from the very beginning, bread has been a result of man's hard labor after the fall. Diba? Here we see God providing bread from heaven. It was a supernatural provision of God. They received bread apart from their labor. Of course, except for the labor of collecting it. Diba? At ang sabi nga sa narrative, verse 35, God did it. God did that for 40 years. For 40 years, they were provided for, even them without working. Diba? Another sign that it was a supernatural thing, that it's a miracle, is the way that the Israelites responded to it. What is it? They have never seen manna then. Wala pa sila kitang manna before. Right? They were totally mystified by it, showing us that they have never seen anything like it. Tapos sa verse 31, as we see, as we point out that this is a supernatural provision, verse 31 gives us further description. Sabi nga, it resembled coriander seed, was white, and tasted like wafers made with honey. So it was very tasty, masarap ito. Ano ba yung pwede natin sabi nila, yung wafer? I think that would pale into comparison to how delicious this is, right? Ito ay napakasarap. In fact, yung writer ng psalmist, Psalm 78:25, the psalmist says it was the bread of angels. Psalm 78:25, right? Tapos after nito, nagkaroon, binigyan pa sila ng quail ng Panginoon Diyos. Right? In spite of their grumbling. God provided meat. God provided bread. Kagaya ng Psalm 78, sinabi ng psalmist sa verse 27, He rained meat on them like dust and winged birds like the sand of the seas. Telling us kung gaano karami itong mga provision na ito. Let's continue on. With the narrative. Let's look at verse 16. This is what the Lord has commanded. Gather of it, each one of you, as much as he can eat. You shall each take an omer according to the number of the persons that each of you has in his tent. Yung omer po can be, sabi na 2 liters daw po yun. Right? Verse 17. And the people of Israel did so. They gathered some more, some less. But when they measured it with an omer, whoever gathered much had nothing left over, and whoever gathered little has no lack. Each of them gathered as much as he could eat. And Moses said to them, let no one leave any of it over till the morning. Huwag kayong magtitira para bukas, kasi nga daily provision ito. But they did not listen to Moses. Some left part of it till the morning, and it bred worms and stank. Yung ibang nagtira para bukas, sabi nga, daily lang dapat kumuha, inuod at nangamoy. And Moses was angry with them. Morning by morning, they gathered it, each as much as he could eat. But when the sun grew hot, it melted. On the sixth day, they gathered twice, kagaya sinabi ng Panginoon Diyos. Sa 6 days, okay lang magkumuha kayo ng pangdalawang araw. 2 omers each. And when all the leaders of the congregation came and told Moses, he said to them, "This is what the Lord has commanded. Tomorrow is a day of solemn rest, a holy Sabbath." First time, minention ni Moses explicitly, ito'y Sabbath. Right? A holy Sabbath to the Lord. "Bake what you will bake, and boil what you will boil. And all that is left over, lay aside to be kept till the morning." Ito'y para sa bukas, para wala na mag-bake, wala na mag-boil, wala na magtrabaho for the Sabbath. Verse 24, "So they laid it aside till the morning, as Moses commanded them, and it did not stink, and there were no worms in it." Pag nung sila ay the sixth day, para sa seventh day, yung tinira nila, hindi inuod, hindi nangamoy. Pero on other days, pag nagtitira sila, kasi nga daily provision lang yon, nangangamoy at inuod. That in itself is supernatural. Right? 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, which is a Sabbath, there will be none. Verse 27. "On the seventh day, some of the people went out to gather, but they found none." Kasi nga, they are supposed to rest. "And the Lord said to Moses, 'How long will you refuse to keep my commandments and my laws?'" Nakita na nga nila eh, di ba? Again, the provision of God is not just for providing for their needs. The provision of God of manna and quail is to test if they would trust the daily provisions of God. 29. "See, the Lord has given you the Sabbath. Therefore, on the sixth day, He gives you bread for 2 days. Remain each of you in his place. Let no one go out of his place on the seventh day." So the people rested on the seventh day. Ano napansin natin? Yes, it was supernatural. Nakita rin natin sa verse 16 to 30, it was very sufficient. Yung mga kumuha ng marami, saktong-sakto lang. Yung kumuha ng konti, saktong-sakto lang din. Right? Sakto lang for the day. And to those who would leave some for the next day, inuod na mamaho. But on the sixth day, para sa seventh day, meron pa rin, hindi nangamoy, hindi inuod, telling us it was sufficient. In verse 16 to 21, we see that God gave enough for the day. The text says that God gave them manna over, diba, every day for 40 years. Sabi ng Diyos, huwag kayong mag-hoard. Right? Dahil sobrang sarap nga siguro, no? Parang, siguro, parang Krispy Kreme, right? Ano yung favorite nyong pagkain na masarap? Sabi ng Diyos, no. You should have enough for the day. "Each person was to gather as much as they could eat. When they did so, there was no lack among any of them." Diba? Very interesting lang po. Si Paul cited Exodus 16:18. Sa anong context? In 2 Corinthians 8:15, as he was talking about giving. Right? Sabi ni Paul, "As it has been written, the person who gathered much did not have too much, and the person who gathered little did not have too little." Paul encouraged the Corinthian Christians to give generously to those who are in need. Sabi niya, huwag kayong mag-hoard. He reminded them not to hoard the good gifts of God. Thus, Paul went on to say that about that God's gift and provision is sufficient and how we should be cheerful givers. Right? Sabi nga nun, ng kwento ng Panginoong Diyos sa taong hinirang niya, sa bayang hinirang niya, they are not to leave anything for the next day. Otherwise, they would stink and they would be full of worms. nakit natin, hindi sila sumunod at parang hindi nila pinagkakatiwalaan ng provision ng Diyos. Right? Nakit natin that they were given enough. Sa sixth day, pwede silang kumuha ng pangdalawang araw because they are commanded to rest on the Sabbath. Right? Again, friends, all throughout the narrative, we see the nation Israel. Imagine nyo, personal nila nakikita yun. They have personally experienced. They are experiencing day by day itong, what is it? Yung manna from heaven. And still, they fail to trust God. They fail to trust God. Right? Let's look at verse 31. Now, the house of Israel called its name manna. It was like coriander seed. Yung manna, yung kinakain ng every morning. And the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. Moses said, this is what the Lord has commanded. Let an omer of it be kept throughout your generations. So they may see the bread with which I fed you in the wilderness when I brought you out of the land of Egypt. And Moses said to Aaron, take a jar and put an omer of manna in it and place it before the Lord to be kept throughout your generations. As the Lord commanded Moses, so Aaron placed it before the testimony to be kept. The people of Israel ate the manna for 40 years till they came to a habitable land. They ate manna till they came to the border of the land of Canaan. An omer is the tenth part of an ephah. Nakita natin yung provision ng Diyos. It was supernatural. It was sufficient. It was also sacred. Nakita sa verse 31 to 36. Sabi ng Panginoon Diyos kay Moses, magtabi kayo. Save some of it. Eventually, it was placed sa isang garapon kasama ng testimonies, which refers to the Ten Commandments, the tablets. Na, di ba? Hindi pa na mabibuild yung ark nito. Pero sinabihan na sila that they should save some of it. What for? It served as a reminder for the people about God's mighty salvation and generous provision. Again, throughout the Exodus, napansin natin nung nagsimula tayong mag-aral, di ba? There are several things that they were commanded to remember. Remember the mighty hand of God. Remember God's salvation. Remember God's faithfulness. Remember God's a warrior. He's going to be fighting for you. Remember that He is a faithful provider. Right? Imagine yung mga kapatid, for 40 years, God cared for them with manna until they entered the promised land. Right? So it was supernatural, it was sufficient, it was sacred. Kailangan nilang alahanin. But before we end, I'd like you to go to Deuteronomy 8, verse 3. Because Moses will once again mention this. Right? In Deuteronomy, Moses reflected on the manna. And he said that the miracle bread was not intended to just sustain them physically. It was intended to teach them a deep spiritual lesson. Deuteronomy 8, starting from verse 2. And you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that He might humble you, testing you to know what is in your heart, whether you would keep His commandments or not. And He humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. God was not just filling their stomachs. Diba? Hindi lang sila binubusog ng Panginoon Diyos. God was shepherding their hearts. Sabing ganun, this experience was intended to humble them, to teach them to depend on God and His Word. Oh, sinabi na nga ng Diyos, etong gagawin ko para sa inyo. Gawin nyo lang, mag-obey lang kayo. Right? And again, friends, as we end this second test, the first test was bitter water in Marah. The second test is the bread from heaven in the wilderness of sin. But before we end, let us not forget that we should never leave an Old Testament passage without looking at it from the context of the gospel. Remember John 6? After the feeding of 5,000, diba? The people came to Jesus Christ on the other side of the sea. Ano sabi nila? Lord, give us bread. Diba? Kakatapos na magpakain ng 5,000 men, right? And then, they said to Jesus Christ, Lord, give us bread. Anong sagot ni Jesus Christ? Your fathers ate manna in the wilderness, and they died. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. John 6:51. Ano nakita natin sa story ng Panginoong Diyos? Nakita natin that God is faithful to His covenant even though His chosen people were not. Diba? Brought them safely in the other side of the Red Sea, kept them safe, kept them warm, and will keep them safe until they reach the promised land. And even when they got there, we know that there was even a bigger picture. Hindi lang yung promised land, diba? Nung nakarating sila, there's a much bigger picture there in the redemptive plan of God. Because we know that this is not just talking about redemption and salvation from captivity from Pharaoh, but on a bigger scheme, on a larger view, on a larger redemptive plan of God. The plan was to redeem us and to save us from captivity from sin. Right? God was disciplining them, shaping them. And what is that for? For them to trust in His Word. Trust in His Word. Friends, as we close the second test of the Wilderness University experience of the nation Israel, let us glean timeless truths. We should be obedient to God's words. We should be obedient to God's word. God is faithful. God is protector. And God is provider. Right? I hope that we would learn from the lesson we should learn from the nation Israel. And we should be grateful every day for God's provision of grace. Pray po tayo. Lord, we thank you for teaching us tonight, and we thank you, Lord, for showing us the beauty of being grateful, the beauty of trusting you. May we learn from this nation, Lord, this chosen nation, this loved nation, this nation whom you have provided for supernaturally, sufficiently, this provision that is sacred, this provision that is for them to be tested, for them to grow, to mature. Sana matutunan namin, Panginoon Diyos, ang mga lessons na ito sa aming nabasa. And may we be found, Lord, grateful believers, grateful followers. Even though at times we would disagree with you, even though at times, Lord, we would not understand, may we trust in your word. May we be found trusting your word. Because you, O God, are a very trustworthy God. Thank you, Lord, for teaching us tonight. We pray, Lord, that these lessons would translate into obedience to your call to live our lives for you. Grateful, Lord, for your grace. Grateful for your mercies. Salamat na marami po, Panginoon Diyos, sa inyong pagtuturo. Pagpalain niyo po ang titirang oras ng araw na ito. In Christ's most precious name we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you for joining me in this study. I hope to see you all next week. Bye and God bless you.